Toy Power Podcast is a free podcast made possible by the support of our awesome Patreon sponsors. Head to toypowerpodcast.com and see how you can help.
Oh yeah, this is Alan.
Hello and welcome to Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. I'm Trent and it is great to have your company today for episode 100.
Yay! Woohoo!
This week on Toy Power, we take a look at the top 10 vintage playsets. We then round it out with what we got over the holiday season and our latest scores. Joining me today for our 100th episode, we have Frank.
Well, hi, hi.
Ben.
G'day, g'day.
Darren.
Hello, everyone.
And the unofficial fifth member of Toy Power, Mr. Davey Damage.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having me. And I want to start out by saying get over yourselves because you're only halfway to 200 and that's what everyone counts by now. But good job so far getting halfway, guys.
And yeah. I know by the time we get to 200, you'll be telling us the new 200 is 400.
That's it.
That's typical Davey style. Well, it was a like Christmas morning again for us this morning when I woke up and Frank had shared a post.
Yeah.
Which toy related podcast is the best on the planet?
Well, I think if you and it was actually Ben who shared the post, just to clarify, but it was actually an article from feedspot.com that basically put together a list of the 15 best toy related podcasts you need to be listening to in 2019. Does anyone want to take a guess at what number we came out of? Out of 1 to 15 of the best toy podcasts on the planet, where did we come in?
17.
17? I was just going to say we were honorable mentions that didn't quite make it.
Unhonorable?
Yeah. Dishonorable.
Dishonorable.
That's it. No, we actually came in at number one with a bullet. So thank you very much to feedspot.com for that. The link has been shared up on our page if you want to go check it out. There's some other really cool podcasts on that list there. There's Toy Photographers, there's Shelf Life, who I listen to, the guys from Cybertron as well. So lots of cool stuff there. But yeah, thank you very much to them for a lovely little early Christmas present.
What are the chances that a website would listen to only the episodes I was on, guys?
Yeah.
So good that they got none of the Lisa episodes.
And was I just going to say, and you stole my thunder, what a huge honor it was to be mentioned before, you know, alongside all those other excellent toy podcasts.
Some really good shows.
It says a lot. It's really flattering.
No, good on you guys. Like, it's a reflection of the work you put in, and I'm sure you'll top a lot of more lists in the future.
We can live in hope, but you're topping some of your own.
Not really. One of you guys' fans gave us the greatest compliment we've ever had, and that's our top 10 list, is being told that our podcast featuring erotic fiction about the Gremlins almost caused a car accident. Yep. And that is as I said in my post of thanks towards that, if we were ever to release a poster about our podcast, and you know the way movie posters have the little caption when they win like Sundance Awards, that would be ours with the little reefs around it.
Almost caused a car accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Fantastic. All right. The brainchild of this episode is Mr. Ben Sachs. He's going to take us through a lot of work he's done behind the scenes to compile the list of the top 10 vintage playsets.
All right. So we asked our fans input for their personal 10 favorite toy playsets pre-1999 for this milestone episode. We didn't ask for a particular ranking, but did request our audience to limit their choices of maximum 2 votes per property. For example, if they wish to vote for, say, the Kenner Death Star from Star Wars and Hoth playset, they weren't allowed to vote for, say, the Dagobah playset as well. This method was to hopefully ensure a better mix and all-round variety. So just to clarify, for every one vote for a playset, we added 1 point to the tally. There were no special counts or favoritism for any playset voters or playsets for that matter. These are the actual numbers and totals according to everyone's responses. And I've got a bit in here that says special mention Ali Barbie Magic Motorhome.
Yeah, I was showing my wife Ali the list there and she went, do you know what's not on there? The Barbie Magical Motorhome. And I went, Funny story, that actually got a shout out a few episodes back with Ben's brother, I believe, is one of his favourite play sets of all time.
Yep. Who else had that play set here around the table?
My sister had it, and because I'm in tune with the ladies, even though related to me. No, it was seriously a fantastic play set.
Big, wasn't it?
Much like Andrew spoke about a few episodes ago. It is massive. It's very diverse. Had so many accessories with it. And just once you look past the fact it was hot pink, which I personally think is a strength.
Yeah.
But it was fantastic. I got Action Man the following year after my sister got that. And the scale was perfect, so Barbie was evicted.
I was just going to say, did Barbie ever use it again after you got Action Man?
No, because it was an action home.
Yep. All right, so now before we get too deep into this voting list, can anyone here shout out any toy lines which unfortunately never had a playset for their otherwise great action figures to interact with? So I've got a little list here that I compiled. So from the 80s, I had Defenders of the Earth. I had Cops, which we're talking about in a future episode. Centurions, you know. Rock Lords, they had a prototype playset, but never anything officially listed. And then from the 90s toy lines, I had a couple Toxic Crusaders and Street Sharks. Any others that anyone can think of?
A lot of the Disney ones didn't have it. So Darkwing Duck and Tailspin. Tailspin had a very cool series of planes, including Baloo's yellow plane and that. I don't know what it's called, a triplane from Don Carnegie.
Lands on the water.
Yeah, it basically had three wings. So not a biplane, but a triplane.
Oh, righto.
Yeah. But yeah, again, one that didn't have it, and probably they had one wave. Those sort of lines were never going to get up there with the big playset.
It is a shame that Street Sharks didn't get a playset in my mind, because other than the fact one would be sitting in my aquarium at home today.
I was going to say.
You think about the boxes that were all the shark cages.
Yeah.
The imagination behind that, there's definitely like the possibility to carry on from there.
Yeah.
Like an underwater Castle Grayskull or something, even though they lived at a pool hall, but whatever.
It's really, I think, interesting because it's a reflection of the changing of the times that we struggle to name too many lines that didn't back then. Whereas nowadays, it's a struggle to name too many that have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, the one I would probably want to shout out is the, I think, Transformers G1. Now, there was some debate when we were putting this list together whether your Metroplexes and your Omega Supremes and these guys qualify as playsets. To me, they don't. Characters can interact with them, sure. The one that really, I think, is a missed opportunity was the Ark. You all think about the original animation and there's that ship that's embedded in the side of a mountain. I think scale was always going to be an issue with a line like Transformers, but I think you could have even just a fold-out cardboard thing.
Would you consider Optimus Prime's trailer as a playset?
People did vote for that.
They did?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Because it houses characters cars. on the sides.
That's what I... Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, someone called out the Diplodocus from Dino Riders as a playset. Because it was the biggest dinosaur and it sort of have all those captions and hooks and
little slides to roll down barrels and stuff. But you're right, like Frank, in terms of the Ark playset, there are a number of almost customs that they do now with the computer screens and they light up and just walls really that you could put together, whether they're printed on heavy card.
Yeah.
But they look great for putting MPs Diorama or even G1.
Yeah,
I think that is a missed opportunity, but they're probably too busy just focused on the transforming robots.
Correct. Yeah, and the scale, I think, as Frank alluded to, would have been the big issue when you've got mini bots on one hand and then you've got big giant. How do you get something that sort of
works for all?
Good call. Okay, also I've mentioned is the properties of Robin Hood and Police Academy.
Yep.
Both had great playsets. However, they both were essentially reproductions of the Star Wars and the real Ghostbusters toy lines. Can anyone else name any playsets that were copycat reproductions?
I think the Batman did it a fair bit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Kenner did it with Batcaves and Wayne Manors throughout. Originally, it was designed for the Dark Knight collection, the prototype for the 1989, so you can see what was originally going to be Access Chemical Factory. Didn't make it to market for that, so that sculpt was used for the first time with Batman Returns. Then it went through Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, all the animated Batman series line, so it was that sculpt was used over and over.
Yeah, it didn't jump
lines, but it was reused within the Batman sort of franchise. Yeah,
very interesting.
I'm pretty sure the new Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they're copycatting like a big bag of dog crap. So far they have with the figures. I'm guessing they're going to continue that into their playsets.
Well, the playset, interestingly, has an RRP at Toy World, at least, of $200, which is probably amongst the most expensive playsets I've seen on the shelves.
Probably about $199 too much.
Yeah.
Well, it actually comes with a $100 note. So that's probably part of the
price.
It's the
only way they can sell it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We love Toy World. We're not having a shot at Toy World for anyone who's misconstrued that.
No, but, well, I mean, that's
please,
more,
please
more
don't miss
the Turtles line.
That's the that's the RRP. I mean, $200 is the cost of that sort of size playset in today's economy.
And please know, it's more of my opinion than a reflection of Toy Power Podcast, that the rise of the TMNT can suck it.
All right, moving right along. Looking at the numbers, we had a grand total, just shy of 50 people who responded to our question.
50,000.
Sorry, I missed a million.
Rounding up.
50 million who responded to our question from all over the world and from different social media platforms such as Facebook and Instagram, and they gave us an epic list of their personal favourite playsets. So massive thank you, guys. Before we kick off this grand list, though, we had a grand total of 89 different playsets, 90 if you include the Barbie Magic Motorhome, so I need to change that. 89 different unique playsets that had at least one vote or more, which is just so awesome to see such an array of variety. However, there were some lines that didn't get any love at all. Here are 10 playsets that didn't make it onto anyone's top 10 list. Probably not because they weren't bad or unpopular, but obviously not high enough on anyone's preference list.
So no votes for these ones.
Zero votes.
Zero votes.
This took hard. Because I had 10 and then, nope, now I'm down to 8 because someone voted for it. And then I had to do some research and then, it was hard. Okay, from the 1970s, Buck Rogers Starfighter Command Center got 0 votes. Mm. Micronauts Strata Station got 0 votes. And that's talking Micronauts across the line.
Yep.
No, the Strata Station was apparently the best playset of that line. Mm. 1980s, my beloved Galoob Golden Girl Palace of Gems. Nothing. No one voted for the Palace of Gems. Heartbroken, honestly. And also from the 1980s, My Little Pony Show Stable playset did not get any votes at all.
I did
vote. Yeah,
I did, but it just got picked by the Technodrome.
It was on the 11th number. Yep. All right. And from the 1990s, which was a lot easier to work out the playsets that got no votes, the Biker Mice from Mars, Scoreboard Hideout.
Okay. Mm.
Matchbox Connectables, the helicopter. So remember the Connectables line? That was pretty cool. Power Rangers, the Power Dome Morphin playset. Crash Dummies, the Crash Test Center. No love for the Crash Test Dummies at all. Captain Planet, Toxic Sludge Dump. No love for the Captain Planet playset. And last but not least, number 10, the one playset from the 90s that never got any votes whatsoever was the Powerpuff Girls Laboratory playset. Yeah. So
there you go.
Bit unfortunate, but that just shows the variety of playsets that did get a vote.
Right.
Okay. Before we kick off the top 10, here are some noteworthy playsets that just missed out on the top 10 list. Equal 15th and 14th coming in is Voltron, Castle of Lions. Oh. It had 15% of the votes. Equal 14th and 15th, Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, Fortress of Fangs, also coming in at 15% of the votes. Equal 13th and 12th was the Star Wars Ewok Village, coming in at 17%. Equal 12th and 13th was the Superpowers Hall of Justice, at 17%. And number 11, just scraping outside of the top 10, was, of course, the Masters of the Universe Snake Mountain playset. Oof. At 20%.
So close.
So close.
That would be
higher. You would have thought. Yeah,
it's a tough list. Yeah.
Okay, so now we get into the itty-gritty. Now we are up to the top 10 list, and there are a few equal votes for some of them. So equal 10th and 9th, we have, drumroll please, Mask Boulder Hill playset from Kenner.
There you
from
go,
1985, 22% of votes, Mask Boulder Hill playset.
Right, so this one was a favorite of mine. I never had it as a kid, but we all have that friend where we go to their place and you go, oh, you've got this and you've got all this stuff that I don't have. Grass is always greener on the other side. So this one is a large, it was essentially a petrol station that was kind of embedded into a mountain. Came with two figures, Alex Sector and Buddy Hawks, and was essentially a gas station that would convert into some sort of fortress, I guess, with guns and stuff like that. The helicopter had a helicopter pad on the top, and I didn't know this until I did the research. There's actually a small trap door just off behind that where you'd stand one of the figures, you press a button at the back, and then the figure drops through into like a jail cell.
Nice.
So that was really cool. The gas, the big gas sign lever, the big gas sign out the front basically flips down, and there's a pair of guns. And I think there's even a rotating switch where you, as it's pivoting, the guns sort of go backwards and forwards to indicate they're firing. I just thought this one was really cool.
The boulder comes off the top.
The boulder off the top, of course.
Could hit anyone, really. Yeah. You know, good guys, bad guys.
Yeah. This there's a hard-to-find piece on this one I found was there's rubber hoses that actually connect the petrol pumps to basically where the petrol comes from.
Yes.
And they get lost almost instantaneously from what I found. Look, the if you're looking to pick one up, probably to find one complete, you're looking around $250 US at right now, and with the box, you know, probably closer to $300.
Just having a look at the picture, to me, like, because I never personally collected masks, I would actually mistake this if I saw it at a market for like an add-on to the Thunderbirds Island.
Yeah, like, good call. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. It's got that feel.
It's got a very similar aesthetic with like built into the mountains.
Yeah, and who doesn't want gas pumps to turn into guns? I mean, that's just a brilliant <That's right>. concept. Pumping gas 1 minute, explosions the next.
What pew, could pew, go pew, wrong?
Until a free gas
fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. In your convertible and showering each other in gas.
Yeah.
Singing.
Well, there is actually a set in Mask called Billboard Blast, which is just a billboard, which has the same feature as the Boulder Hill sign, essentially, where it flips open and there's a guy sitting inside.
The other one, it reminds
me of...
Sounds
like an adult star.
Yeah.
I'm Bill.
I had one that was also from the Mask line that was essentially a small version of that. Come with a...
Tires?
Tires. Like the petrol pump would sort of flick backwards and it was on a spring. And you'd put these tires that come with the petrol station.
Yeah.
And you could just launch them across the room.
Flick them, yeah.
Awesome.
I've got that one now, Frank.
Of course you do.
Very cool. Really cool playset. Do we know how big it was?
It's big. Yeah, it's solid. I don't know what you'd call that. One foot at least.
Yep.
Yeah, it was large enough that the vehicle, like the gate...
The standing figures could physically stand comfortably inside of the openings.
Yeah, and the Gator vehicle, which you'd probably put as a sort of a masterpiece size car, could actually drive through. There was a garage section in it.
Yeah, so, cool. Yeah. Awesome. All right, big question. Who has this playset in their collection?
I don't. I have most of the Mask line. I'm missing a couple of bits, and I've just never got Boulder Hill.
Never had it, but I wanted it.
Never even seen it. In real life.
No.
Don't have it.
Don't want it.
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't have a Mask collection. No, I wouldn't say that. Yeah. I just don't have it.
22% of people apparently want it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
22% of people. I suspect a large chunk of those probably, if I don't have it, they have
it. It might be their grey.
Does that just mean that... Exactly. Just their legs want it? Like, everyone's legs just want it? I don't know how this works out.
From the kneecap
down. I don't understand.
Yeah. From the percentages, it was a broken down from our how many votes...
Of the people who voted.
Oh, so it wasn't how much of their body wanted it. I'm on board now.
Well, some people are willing to sell their body... Maybe they're willing to sell 22% of their body in exchange for...
I'm pretty sure that was a joke.
You are a robot. I know.
But what we're saying is... 22% of the people had it on their top 10 list.
Correct.
Yeah.
So rather than actually...
Which 22% of them?
Oh, God. Okay, moving right along.
Don't encourage me.
I'm helping.
Okay. Also in equal 9th and 10th was, drumroll please, the Real Ghostbusters Firehouse from Kenner in 1987. It also had 22% of the votes. Take that any way you want.
For how many... collectors I have met that this is 22%. I've met them from the knee down. I thought this story right there. Hey, where are you going? Come in here, I want to show you my glow scar. Scare Glow, sorry. I really thought this would be near number one. Like this,
yeah.
Coming into toy collecting when I did, this was always the one I heard about. Everyone's always right. Like, oh, do you have this? This is so good. Yep.
When, as we said, reused by Police Academy. So
must have had something going for
it. Yeah, obviously it would have been an expensive sculpt.
Yeah,
it's a great set, and it's a really iconic piece, both in the films and in the cartoons. I think, you know, to see it realised in toy form, I can see why it'd be a holy grail to so many.
All right, so this one was just your big old firehouse, just like the iconic set in the movies and the animation, but it definitely had a movie likeness. Two levels of fun. You could fit the Ecto-1. I think it's a pretty tight fit from memory, but it does get in the doors and get onto that ground level. You can't have a Ghostbusters fire station without a ghost containment unit complete with trap. It's chunky, so again, if you're trying to put the car in, you can't.
I don't quite believe there's actually a spot for it in the playset. It kind of sits off to the
side. Off to the side.
You will get in there now. Go in your hole.
Yeah. You've got your Ghost Pursuit fire pole. You put the figures. I think you can attach two figures to the top, and they spin, spiral down.
It's kind of fun. I saw some.
They
footage.
Sit on it and spin, do they?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Right. Moving on.
It's got the Goop grates. This is something that was probably made famous in the sewer playset, which is a grate. You can basically put goo.
I hope they renamed it for the Police Academy ones as Goot grates. Anyone? Anyone? No? I'll be quiet now.
So you had two levels of grills to pour the old slime through.
Because Steve Guttenberg was in Police Academy.
just for and anyone playing at
one
home.
Through four.
Davey's lost it.
He's set out 5, 6, 7.
He's peaked for the night. just a quick one. I reckon the hardest to find pieces for this set is the railing for the because there's all the levels of railing, and I find people searching for them all the time because they're different sizes for different parts. So I think they'd be pretty difficult to find.
Yeah, about 150 US loose, 200 with a box, and if you've got a mint and sealed box, you're looking at about $400 US.
Fun fact, only toy box to feature actual photo of toy rather than artwork design from this top 10 list. So I thought that was a bit of a fun fact to add. Did you know that? Or?
I am picturing a drawn image when I'm looking at it because a lot of the vehicle, the Ecto-1 certainly was artwork.
Because the picture I saw was a little kid sitting there playing with it with the box, the photo of itself, and out of all the other top 10 playsets that we'll list off tonight,
it's all art.
It's the only one that had a actual photo.
I think it did that for a sense of scale because it probably would have been one of these ones that you construct. The box would have been much smaller than the built.
How good would it have been though if it was the box with the picture of the box on it and it just got smaller and smaller and smaller? Yeah. I'd buy it.
Maybe the
playset is just the box.
You got it. Yeah,
cut it out. Cut out the door. Yeah.
That'll be for my spin-off Gootbusters line.
Yeah.
Anyone?
So basically, your customer is any cat because it's an empty. It's a box inside.
All right. Okay. Moving right along. Number 8. That came in. A drum roll, please. The Sectors Hive from Coleco, coming in 1985. It had 24% of the votes. So this, who had the Ghostbusters? Who has the Ghost? No one's.
But I'd love one.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Sector's Hive. It looks like a giant mountain with an advanced computer command center on the inside, measuring a whopping 28 inches wide and 3 feet tall, aka 71 centimeters wide and 92 centimeters tall. That's like almost a meter. That's crazy. Go on.
To critique the design, just judging by the pictures, it is... Masters of the Universe as hell.
Yes. It's the tallest playset of the 80s, so that's something to, you know, wow factor. Includes not one, but two exclusive puppets. One is a finger puppet named Vipex. It's a worm, venomous worm-like creature, and the other is a large spider hand puppet named Noyor. Also features a wrecking ball device weapon on a string controlled from the top of the mountain. There is a platform booby trap that drops when the touch of a lever, as well as a trap door at the top of the base. If that's not enough, there's a jail cell as well as a secret door entry. The interior is a little boring, which is basically a single platform with a large, colourful cardboard art piece. Hardest parts to find are probably the many guardrails, which look very fragile. Loose, you're looking about 500 USD. Boxed, I have no idea. I tried to search some, searches, could not find any sealed box ones.
You'd
sold.
Be looking at $2,000-$3,000, so, wouldn't you?
And the box art looks like the straight up greatest metal record you've ever heard.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Definitely a grail piece for me. I wish I had it. I've seen a few. I'd say on one hand, five people in Australia have the Hive playset. Mm. I don't know. I think it's because the sectors are a bit of a niche line. They never got the distribution of the Hive itself in all around the world. So it makes it that much more harder to find on the secondary market.
Just back on the box art for a minute. Why do you guys think it is that the modern day play sets and everything don't have that much love put into the box art? Do you think it's because we live in a time where the parents would be like, oh, this isn't like the picture on
yes.
the front?
Yes.
And it's a lot cheaper. Just do a photograph. Yeah. You don't have to commission an artist.
Yeah, true. It's a shame, though, because like it is a dying art form
of itself.
Definitely. And Masters of the Universe, like, I'm sure that had a massive lot to do with the sales to begin with.
Definitely. Yeah. And an inspiration for artists that have grown up since.
I would listen to this Sectors of the Hive album. Like, it looks unbelievable. Yeah.
And it's
sort of guitar and everything.
But if you took a photo of that, like, you look at the artwork, it's glowing from the inside with this demon red. You couldn't replicate that really with sort of lighting, could you?
Maybe in the 1990s, the glow in the dark paint they started using in like laser centers and stuff.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But, yeah. That place that looks sick.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, coming in at equal 7th and 6th, drum roll please. We have the Bravestar Forkyrium from Mattel, released in 1986. It had 26% of the votes.
So yeah, as Ben said, released in 1986 by Mattel, the flagship playset to go along with the 8-inch Bravestar line of action figures. This one was big. Certainly not Sectors big, but pretty close there by the time you got onto the Command Center Tower. It consisted of three different buildings and one of the tallest and both widest playsets of the 80s. It had the Command Center in the middle, the planetary jail off to one side, and the first Carrion Bank. You needed to assemble it all yourself with all the different components, put all the stickers on yourself as well. Okay, just to break it down, the Command Center had an array of computers inside and a lookout tower perched above these beams that sat at the top, giving it the height plus the old cheating with a flagpole and a flag to give it a little bit extra. It had a spotlight you could put on the top, non-functioning, no light, and also a blast shield that slides up and down the sort of pylons that hold up the power. You can fit Bravestar or any figure at the top. Had some really cool big red Gatling guns. Similar to that, you might see on something like Landshark. Something, these really big guns that you could put on the top of the building. So, yeah, very nice centerpiece. Then you had the jail cell with a... And cells seem like a pretty common action feature here. This had the door that would close. You actually had a key you could turn to lock your guys in. Now, the other thing that this had was you could get guns that would shoot like a laser beam. Mm. And if you targeted the exterior jail wall, you could actually blast off the window and get crooks to escape out of that.
Nice.
So, and if you lost or you didn't have the laser feature, you could use something that like Blast Attack had, where you basically put in a little cable and it had a plunger and you'd push it, and that would also give you your blast effect. So really, really nice feature. The third building was the Planetary Bank, and its main feature was a safe. Now, if you know Bravestar, they didn't mine gold, they mined carrion, which was like a translucent sort of mineral, and looked really, really cool. You basically had a mechanism, again, you could use the laser feature to blow open the bank, and it had a little spring-loaded floor, which would, when the the vault door blew off, it would flip, the base would flip up and shoot all the carrion along the ground. So just a nice little extra.
Nice way to lose all the bits of carrion. Pretty much. The floor.
No, yeah. No guesses to what the most lost accessory was for this one.
Just looking into it, obviously it was designed in a way that would fold up into essentially a carry case. But I was going to say it's almost a missed opportunity. It could have quite effectively been a double-sided playset. Like you could actually have the interior of the buildings basically be a reflection of the other side, but obviously that takes away the, you know, is it too late to get onto them? Do you think, I think they'll do it?
Guys.
Well, that was actually the gimmick or one of the features, and you can't lift it up like a carry case because of the way it's constructed. But what it would do is, like you said, you'd have all these, the three playsets sort of side by side, but it would fold up into a rectangle, and that was in fortress mode. And then what would happen is it had these verandas that would come down, and it had sort of bases, like floors, I guess. Mm-hmm. And those floors would fold up, like almost roller shutters, like if you think to, you know, these ghettos security. Where they put the security roller shutters. So that would all fold up and make it into a fortress. But what was really cool is on the underside of the floors, as they flipped up to become the fortress walls, there were these little guns that would kind of clip on the bottom and sort of almost fold out. So it was like an armored fortress, really, giving the name, you know, Fort Carrium. So very cool. The other thing that I love, it just comes with this sort of futuristic red chair that you could sit Bravestar in. And he quite often in the filmation series, you know, sat like the sheriffs out on the porch, you know, watching the day go by, watching the sunset with his feet
looks like
up.
Where he would go to get his boots polished.
Pretty much, due to the high price point, this is a really interesting note that I don't think any of the other playsets on this list can lay claim to. You could actually buy it in two different versions. So one, it was sold as the complete playset, but you could also buy it as either just the command center or the jail and the planetary bank. Yeah, they were really catering for lower price points. Yeah. If you couldn't afford a $100 playset, you could buy two smaller ones. And actually, those smaller ones, mint in box, go for quite a lot, and in some cases that's more. Yeah.
I'm looking, there's a listing right now, $245 loose.
Yeah. What I did a sort of completed listing. You're looking at maybe $100 or so you could get one for US for a loose set. Maybe a bit more here in Australia. And I picked up not a mint in box, but you know, the set pretty much complete with the box for about $200. So about $200 US. I know, what's that store, Lobos in Melbourne? Yeah. They've got one sitting there, and I don't think it's sold. It's sitting at about $600 AUD. But I reckon, for about $200 USD, $300 AUD, you can get one pretty good nick in a box. And I'd say the most easily lost piece of this set is the carrium.
Yeah. I was going to say the little red key as well would probably go
Funnily enough, quite large. But I think it possibly could have just been thrown away as some, you know, token item.
So Trent, you're the only one that's got this playset. No one else.
I've never seen one in real life.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I do remember the mint store.
Very cool.
Got some beautiful box art as well.
Yes.
And one of the other things I forgot to mention was some of the windows actually flip around and they've got like a wanted sign.
Oh, okay.
You know, text hex wanted and then, you know, flips around. So some really nice decals and stickers.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. Equal 6th and 7th. Drum roll, please. Thundercats Cat's Lair from LJN, 1986, also receiving 26% of the votes.
Yeah, so what I like about this is, compared to a lot of the other playsets, it's instantly recognizable. You don't even need to know the name of it, and you go, that's Thundercats. Like, it's essentially, for those who haven't seen it, you think of like a Egyptian sphinx, and it's a giant cat's lair that's basically sitting there. The coolest thing about this thing is it had the laser feature that Trent was talking to, similar with Bravestar, where one of the vehicles it came with, as well as other toys within the toy line, had basically firing lasers. And if you hit the right target, there was a little wheel that sort of sat underneath, like on the cat's chest, and that would spin. And once you got to, I think, 10 successful strikes, basically the main doors would blow open and the bad guys could, you know, storm the castle, essentially. But even when they did that, there was a little trapdoor right inside. Once you got through the main gate, there's a trapdoor there waiting that, guess what, drops them into
a jail. I'd be interested to see how many of these have a jail, because I think it's going to be a high
percentage.
High proportion.
Very interesting. Look, it's actually quite large when you think about the Thundercats line. They're very big, much like Bravestar, in that sort of 8-inch sort of scale. The cat's lair comes in at about 23 inches high, 16 inches across, which is 60 centimetres wide and... Oh, sorry, 60 centimetres high and 40 centimetres across. The cat's head also can send and receive those laser signals. So there's actually sort of like a mini game, if you will, built in where the... It comes with a... what do they call it? Mutant attack sled.
Yep.
And that can also receive, you know, get hit by these lasers, and that's got a little counter as well. So yeah, a very, very cool thing. Takes 8 AA batteries to run it, because that's how they did power back then. I know, right? The big chunky ones. So yeah, the hard to find piece for this one is the, of course, the battery cover, because you would be forever taking that off. Also had the two giant paws either side that could lift up to have vehicles sort of went in and out of one, and the other one had a like a gun turret thing that would sort of pop out. Yeah, very hard to find. Probably about $600 US to find one complete these days. Yeah.
And if you want to instantly make it less credible, just put a Casio keyboard under the hands and it looks hilarious.
Shout out to one of our patrons, Trent Barrett. He, I met Trent actually in Adelaide. He's from Perth, WA. But he was over here working, and his mum texted him and said, I'm just going to chuck some of your toys out unless you want them. Didn't get around to responding to the message, and out the front of front hard rubbish was the Thundercats lair playset.
Followed shortly by his mum, hopefully. No offense, Trent.
And no offense to your mother, but I'd be crushed if it happened to me. Like,
that would be one criminal hefty charges. You'd just be driving along and you'd be like, what is that?
Yeah.
I had a similar thing. Well, not quite as drastic as that, but my dad threw out the wings of my TIE fighter, my Power of the Force TIE fighter.
Yeah.
So I just had the pod with the connection bits, and just know it was like, oh, thanks, Dad. So that became a bath toy. It became a submarine.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good use.
Was it accidental or...?
It was because they weren't together. It was like, these are obviously broken off of something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No.
Okay, equal fifth and fourth. Drum roll, please. We have Masters of the Universe, Eternia playset from Mattel, 1986, receiving 28% of the votes.
So a playset that's near and dear to my heart. Never had it as a child, but have it now. To give you a bit of context, the Eternia playset works really well in that it's the playset that's probably tied the most to various incarnations of Masters of the Universe. It's introduced late in the run of the vintage line, but also is... or was intended to be the default playset for the Powers of Grayskull line as well. So I think Mattel were thinking, because of the higher price point, how can we justify the existence of that in a child's collection? Well, it can be He-Man's and it can be Heroes. And the playset itself, for those that are not familiar with it, is three towers. You've got the Grayskull Tower, the centre tower, which is, I guess, a bit more neutral and has a cat-like face on the front of it, and you have the Viper Tower, which probably harkens back or reminds people a little bit of how Snake Mountain might have appeared in animation. And it's a playset that comes with a monorail with a track, which is notoriously known for being brittle, but there is a repro track that's out there as well. It comes with some other action features as well. It's got some of the traditional things that playsets have, like elevators and dungeons and different things. But one of the things that I think is really cool about it is that it's made in a scale that's very vehicle friendly. You can have either the Fright Fighter or the
Blaster Hawk.
Yeah, the Blaster Hawk. I don't know how I forgot that, but the Blaster Hawk sitting on top of the center tower, really, really nicely. It's like it's literally made for it.
Or the one that it comes with, which is that little red,
the little cannon, blaster cannon.
Comes in that little grey base.
Yeah. I just did a quick Google and saw the price point, and so it's a no thanks for me. But I'm going to say, if I ever won Lotto, just to upset all of you guys in this room,
you'd get
I would get a pair of boots made out of the centre tower and wear them to record with you guys all the time. And just sit with my feet up on the desk and be like, what's up?
All right.
That would destroy me, man.
With a monorail necklace. Well, when...
Of the not the reprint, the original.
Don't even set it up properly so that it just drags the figure across me, like awkwardly making like the struggling noise the whole time.
When I got my Eternia playset, I
with my Goop Busters money,
I grabbed the Central Towers the lion head and I used it like as a masquerade thing and posted out. No one else thought it was as funny as I did, but yeah, it was a once in a lifetime idea. And yeah, so just some cold hard facts on this: 31 inches tall for the Central Tower is absolutely whopping. Four floors from the base of foundation to the other levels. This playset is a grail piece. Total of 80 plus unique bits make up this playset. Like 80 plus bits. That's why to collect it individually and part it out is just madness. And you can ask me how mad I am for doing so. So the monorail system is made up of 13 pieces of monorail track, which has become extremely fragile, as Darren pointed out before. It comes with three vehicles designed to travel on the monorail track. The power module is a small battery-powered engine that can be connected to any one of the three vehicles and power them around the track. This playset also included play features such as the weapon rack, the dungeon, again, laser blaster cannon, working elevator, entry trap, and four separate levels for the Central Tower.
So just on that, like there was a ball attached to a chain you can put on the track, and as one of the vehicles comes around, it knocks the ball off, and that releases the jail cell onto the jail, drops it down so the characters can get trapped in, and that's done in one of the mini comics as well. I think Ratlaw or someone gets trapped in there.
And if that jail cell...
That's the mini-comic that came with it.
Yeah.
If that jail cell trapperage action feature isn't enough for you, you can attach another little piece, the most fragile piece of the Eternia thing other than
that
the monorail itself.
Bit,
yeah, so there's
gray.
A little attachment. It's like the thinnest piece of plastic you can imagine. You connect it to the bottom, I think, of the monorail, and as the purple shuttle prison cell comes around, it knocks it. And it'll drop your character from inside to wherever you place the that little connection.
It's got a little red tab that it hits, and then it, basically the bottom of that purple thing vehicle opens up, and your character drops out. So it's really clever.
Very clever.
How much was this when it was released?
Okay, so
$200 Australian.
Yep. So, because I'm just looking, like obviously I don't collect Masters myself, but. Or in like ore wise and everything, and like the initial reaction of it, this would clearly be number one if price wasn't a factor for any kids, because scale and everything,
all the features,
also very late in the life.
I think if this was released 2 years prior to when it was actually released in 1986. It would have done a lot better. It would have been a lot more popular.
Because looking at it, there's nothing that hasn't been done with love. It is. Yeah. Amazing.
It's so enormous.
And even like if you look at the front, it's got these two golden gargoyles as sort of these pillars that are around the Central Tower, right? So you go up the stairs, there's these two gargoyles, beautifully sculpted. One of them you twist and there's like a hidden weapons compartment underneath it.
See,
and even like a spider sticker. So like a spider web sticker in there.
Yeah.
And the moat, right? So you can see there that you've got a little brown bridge you go over and there's a moat around it. There's all the weapons sculpted into that.
All the original
skulls and fingers. It's like...
Yeah.
It seems like the toy set that executives never got to say no about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you'd be in a meeting with the like prototype and be like, all right, get rid of the monorail, get rid of this.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is like the dream play set because it's just...
It's the
they
Gremlins.
Just ran with it.
It's the Gremlins 2 movie of toy lines.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
To give you a little bit of context, Mattel were originally planning to do a Grayscale 2.0 in place of Eternia. It was going to be a bigger Grayscale, and they decided not to do that, to do the Three Towers instead. And that was just the path they went down. But yeah, the initial idea was, how can we get people energized about this and excited? And the first thought was, you know, another version of Grayscale that's bigger and more elaborate than the first. But I think there was a real wisdom in people don't necessarily want to buy Castle Grayskull again.
Again, yeah.
I feel like the Mattel guys were doing certain substances and be like, and drawing it on a napkin. It's like, and it shoots fire. It's like, all right.
The next day in the meeting,
just crosses out the fire with lead. Not that bit.
All right. We talked about prices. What does this one go for and hardest to find?
Yeah, hardest to find is definitely the little clear windshield part that connects to the laser blaster cannon. That alone can be hundreds of dollars in US form. Like, when I was searching for one, someone had one and he PM'd me and it was like $300 or something US.
See, that's insane. That's
a little piece of plastic.
That's the cost of these playsets. The other playsets on the list.
There's the sunglasses that go with my boots.
one lens is made up of five windshields.
I feel like I'm going to do a bit of Photoshop and actually make this happen. Davey-inspired.
Well, he did the My Little Pony thing for us, so it's about time we got him back. All right, so special...
Goofbusters.
So special thanks to Mark Randall and Alan Seamont for information on this playset. Average price for Loose Complete is about $1,700 to $1,900 USD. Average price for Loose Complete with box is around $2,300 USD. Average price for factory sealed box is around $6,000 to $7,000.
Yeah, so 10 grand Australian.
At least.
More or less.
Yeah.
Insane.
I mean... I would almost drop that if I had one sitting.
Drive to Lobos. They had three.
For 10 grand?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
They had three. Yeah. You'd have to consider it, wouldn't you? Yeah. For a mint in silver.
Yeah.
What an item, though. What a grail piece.
It's definitely a centerpiece for anyone's collection who has it. And talking of that, who has it in this room?
I have one not complete. Yeah. I don't have that little windscreen.
Right.
And I'm missing one flagpole and the flag, but I got some repro stickers.
Cool.
So, most of the track, sorry, I don't have all of the track and I don't have the repro track.
Yeah. So I've got it. I've managed to put it together 100% complete. I do have a repo track and I do have a repo little windscreen as well, because no way was I paying that much money.
No, that's right.
And I have one too, but not from childhood, sadly.
I have three. Two of them are actually the table that hold up the third one. And the surface of the table is actually just all the windscreens melted together.
It's funny. It's perfect that you got a spare one to give to Frank.
Yeah, that's
funny,
it.
Funny you say that, because I was on eBay one time and they had like the holy grail of grails of Eternia playsets. So they had the complete Eternia playset. And then they had a second tower standing on top of the top level of the fourth level. And so creating like this eight level Eternia playset with the extra shaft. It was just insane.
It's a waste of shoe material.
So, yes. Nice. So it could make them into big boots, you know.
Knee highs.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Equal fourth and fifth as well. Drum roll, please. Finally getting a shout out. G.I. Joe, USS Flag from Hasbro, 1985, also receiving 28% of the votes.
Yeah, this is, I'm not sure too many of us in the room would have had this one, but it goes down in history as probably one of the largest in terms of sheer width.
It's the size of a surfboard
time.
To me. As
it
an
is.
Adult. Well, Imagine having this as a kid.
This was designed to fit under a single bed. So that was where Hasbro envisaged you would store it. You'd play with it and then just back under the bed.
Yeah. If my parents bought this for me, they'd expect me to live inside of it. And I probably physically could have at that point. It is so big.
Yeah.
I watched a guy do a review of it and part of what he does on his show is he reviews all these toys and then at the end he does a 360 shot where it's obviously on a little motorized thing and he goes around. He gets to that part of the video and he goes, so... this is awkward, but we're actually going to do... He need to get his wife to help him to rotate it around in his toy room so that it didn't actually knock anything else off the shelf.
If he let it run and just scrape clean all these things. That would have been a great episode.
And then he had to time lapse the whole thing because it took them so long to spin it around. Absolutely massive.
I was listening to a podcast and one of the guys, the guest guys... had one as a kid, right? And they were like, my gosh, that's insane that you're the first person we've ever talked to who's actually can legit say they've had a USS Flag. And he says, yeah, it was huge. I couldn't even store it in my bedroom. Yeah. I had to, it stood in my sister's room, who had a larger room, sitting upright against the wall because it was so big. It was a trip hazard, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It just was so big. It needed to stand up on its engine block, whatever you call the back end of a boat, sitting up against in the corner.
Yeah.
And it just, it's like, it makes sense because it is so big.
Yeah. So for those who don't know what we're talking about, the USS Flag is actually an aircraft carrier. In terms of size, it was 7 feet long. That's a touch over 2 meters and 3 feet wide, close enough to 90 centimeters across. It was actually named in honor of the man who created the Joes in the comics, and that was a character called General Flag. Fans sometimes refer to it as the ultimate display table for their Joes because you could literally get... and again, going back to this video that I saw, this guy had, I want to say, like 20 vehicles on the deck of this thing and had it set up with figures all across it. It looked like a massive diorama, and at no point did anything look out of scale. It's just phenomenal.
Sorry, I don't know for you guys, but boats were always bathtub toys for me, like regardless of what the line was.
Yeah.
And this would not have been an option.
It's bigger than a bath.
Yeah,
it wouldn't need to take it into the ocean or the pool.
That's where I bathed, but thanks for bringing it up.
It says clearly on the box, is not designed to float, will not float. Yeah. But there is a famous photo circling around the internet where there's this kid standing in his swimming pool, holding it underneath, and it's submerged in the water. It's insane. Check it out if
then
you haven't.
Then there's a photo of his filter with just all the stickers.
So it comes with a three-tier superstructure that sort of sits on the deck level. So as well as what you can get on the deck as far as vehicles, there's a three-level structure that you can have your Joes in. Much to Davey's point about Fort Kerrion, it's actually done inside and out. So if you get around the back side of it, you can actually see all the detailing on the inside. Features. Oh, this is a big list. It comes with a winch skyhook. There's a 6-missile launcher on the deck. There's a blast shield, so you know when aircraft take off, there's a bit of the deck that flicks up so that the Joes who's sitting behind the plane don't get blown away, so very much like a real aircraft carrier. There's a radar station, there's extending side cannons on either side of it. There's an Admiral's launch boat. I love the fact that it's called the Admiral's launch boat because it's like, oh, the whole thing's going down. We're just going to launch this little dinghy off and only the Admiral can escape. The rest of you guys are all screwed.
Admirals and women first.
Exactly. There's what they call a Sky Striker hook catcher. Now, you might remember the scenes in Top Gun when you see the planes landing and there's a giant rope and they have a tow hook behind them that helps them brake, essentially, when they're landing on the aircraft carrier. You see that? And that's exactly what this thing has. And you go, that's ridiculous. Like, the planes that would land on this thing are larger than, I think if you think Transformers, you think Jetfire.
Yep.
That sort of scale. That's the size of these planes. And they have the little hook attachment, and it can collect the rope.
And they comfortably sit there. Like,
you can line them up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And people do. Yeah.
Yeah. It even comes, and I didn't know this until I did the research, even comes with a microphone and speaker.
Oh.
You know, like a little CB radio that you can say, you know, Roger, Roger, whatever it is, and that actually modulates your voice. It's got a couple of different siren effects on there. Like most siren effects from the 80s, it's horrific and loud and piercing.
It's always those same 12 samples.
Yep.
That like includes the machine gun fire and the like bomb landing. Yeah. That's the best.
Yeah. This one did come with an exclusive figure, Admiral Everett P. Colby, whose code name was Keel Hall. And it also came with a towing vehicle and a fuel tanker, that sort of thing you'd see at airports. The hard to find piece on this is what they refer to as Y clips. They're basically these little pegs that put the superstructure, attach that to the deck. So without that, you kind of, the whole thing could potentially fall apart.
Yep.
Fun fact, in the original cartoon, the USS Flag was actually successfully sunk by Cobra in one episode, only to be resurrected like two episodes later. Something like that, which I thought was...
Yo, Joe.
Yeah, pretty much. Price, anyone want to take a guess?
I did look.
Yeah.
And it shocked me, yeah.
Yeah,
so... It's more than a Eternia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for a complete sort of second hand, you're looking at a starting price of around $1,200 US, but for mint in seal box, you are talking $10,000 US.
Insane.
Yep. Absolutely. Lobos had one, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Hanging
yes.
from the ceiling.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
First and only time I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is going to be my skateboard. Going
to
You wait, guys. You will be reviewing next year Goot Busters, my toy line. I'll be hanging out with Steve Gutenberg in our Eternia boots, riding our USS Flag skateboards.
Have you, speaking of, have you reviewed Police Academy on DVG yet?
I did recently start revisiting them, and wow.
Yeah,
they are a product of their time.
They and certainly are.
It's about time we had another franchise where tricking people into going to gay bars was the punchline. And that's not even a euphemism or exaggerating. No. That is pretty much the overlying arc of those films.
Right. Excellent.
Cool. All right.
19 out of 19.
All right.
That's a great segue to third place.
We are now down to the top three.
All right. Third place. Drum roll, please. TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Sewer Lair playsets, 1989, consisting of 35% of the votes.
I remember this one fondly, and Davey, you're more than welcome to talk about it, but it cost $99.
Mm-hmm. It did.
AUD when it came out. And I remember knowing that I wasn't going to be getting that for Christmas.
One of my biggest memories, you know that you all have that Christmas where you remember pretty much everything you got, and it's like the peak Christmas. For me, the peak Christmas was woke up in the morning, mum, dad goes, go check under the tree. So run to the tree, and it's the TMNT winter sleeping bag.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was like, oh, thanks. Yeah. It was a fake out. My friend's like, oh, here's your real present. At which point I excitedly opened it. It was the sewer lair, built it. It took forever to build because it's one of those ones that take just enough pressure to get together, but almost enough to break it, kind of deal. Yep. So I got it all together, and then as a big thing of my childhood was, put the stickers wherever. I never used to look at the box art, and so I have vivid memories of how heinously placed all my stickers were. It made no sense to what they were at all.
Yep.
But man, this was peak. I could never get any of the green piping to stay in, like, I think I warped it or forced it or something.
No, that was a problem.
But I used to love it. And in the middle of the night, I still have memories of, well, going to bed and you'd hear like dick, 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 and you'd get up and one of the pipes just jumped out. And oh man, what a great place it belongs at number one. But it's okay that you let everyone vote. Even the people that are wrong.
So I got this one for Christmas as well in 1990 from my parents after pestering them probably for half of 1990 at least for it. Like Davey, I had the issues around connecting it in, with the pipes and that, but had a ton of fun with it. You know, it was it's actually one of those that means a great deal to me because it was the last playset that I really got in my childhood. It was, you know, there was Castle Grayskull, Snake Mountain, and there was this. So for me, it's one that really means a lot. It's sort of, I guess, at that point where my parents were probably trying to, not too long after that, usher me away from toys. We all know how successfully they went with
it. Nailed it.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Yep.
This my one. Sorry. No, you ruin it. Go.
I was just going to talk to what it is, actually. Just what is this playset? It's essentially street level with an underground sewer level, and the sewer level had two rooms. Smaller room to the left, which had the ooze that came down, and that had the pipes that would connect onto it. And you had this little yellow ball, spiked ball, I think it was blue or purple on the box, that you could drop down the pipes and it would kind of come down, bowl it over. On the street level, you had a fire hydrant, yellow fire hydrant with an eye that joined into the sewer level, which was a periscope, which Donatello is famously painted on the artwork. But on the street level, it had a cardboard fence, two power lines, and one of the play features was that the power lines would actually, you could attach a character to it, and they would swing down and maybe, you know, knock over another character. Working elevator, no jail cell, but it did have like a little peek-in window that Shredder could sort of peek his head in, a little bed, a little round sort of bed tube, and a lot of the stickers were designed to give it some depth. You know, there's a hallway going off there, but that's actually just a sticker.
Did you try to climb into it much like Wile E. Coyote? You're like, oh, there's another room.
Kind of just end up as a shadow mark on the wall. Really fun playset.
For me, it had the iconic feature, being such a big Turtle fan, just having a manhole cover.
Definitely.
You could actually put the figure up through was sick. Like.
Yeah.
And when it was in scale, whereas, you know, the Manhole covers that came with Rocksteady in and the Turtle Cycle, for example, just wouldn't have worked in that context. Work.
Yeah.
So having one that was in scale with your figures was just terrific.
Yep.
Cool. All right, for me, inside the lair is a little bed and rest area. On the wall of said area is a molded computer. There are two wires or cables that act as connection points. Once taken out, they could be easily be mistaken as rubbish and thus thrown out. All the other parts are pretty big. So that's what my call out for the hardest easily lost part.
I don't even have that part of it.
Yeah. I actually reckon the bomb is probably... Yeah, from the put down the bomb. They were always what was missing because the playset still appears complete without it. And so often,
it's not attached
you know,
to
it
anything.
Doesn't really sit unawkwardly anywhere on the playset.
And what's that little yellow plug?
That's exactly what
level.
I was going to go ask. Because in terms of hard to find pieces, that one gets my vote. That was the last piece I ever found. I have a vague memory of seeing a picture.
Like a crank or something for the elevator or something.
I don't know. I don't know what it actually does though.
Right.
Yeah, there is a round bit that is part of the elevator.
It's a yellow bit that sits on street level.
Yep.
That serves no purpose. It's just there.
Just sits there. Doesn't go into anything, does it?
It's the Trent of the place.
It's a Lisa episode of the place.
Yeah.
I do our intros, man.
That's horrific.
Hey, you show up.
What's this valued at?
I reckon you can get it for about 150 US in box.
Yep.
Like in a not mint and sealed box.
Yep.
Maybe you're looking at sort of 300 for mint and sealed box.
Yeah, I remember paying under 200 Australian for mine complete.
Yeah. It's plentiful, I guess you'd say. So,
and it's not as old as some of the 80s ones.
It's not.
Yeah.
And it was made at the height of the franchise when the property was huge.
And
it also got a release in Australia.
Yeah, which helps.
You know, it was oversaturated, if anything, with the TMNT. Mm.
Yeah.
That's so true. But having said that, most sealed playsets seem to get a release here.
Yeah, no, definitely. I see, honestly, with the original Turtles sewer layer, I come across one maybe every 6 months in Australia. So it's not like...
So Davey's got a giant sewer playset.
Built a few of them.
Don't call my house that.
Oh. Okay. It's pretty safe to say all of us, correct, have the sewer playset.
Yes. Right? Three.
3,000. Who had it as a kid, though?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Davey and Frank.
Actually, no, I didn't. No, sorry.
Darren.
I'm getting confused.
No? Okay.
I loved it.
I only got it this year, I reckon.
Yeah. I never had any of the playsets.
Well, welcome to the bandwagon.
Yeah, I know. I'm jumping on.
Awesome. Okay, moving right along. Second place. Drum roll, please. All right.
That was because of it.
All of your drum rolls have sucked, by the way, guys.
I'm totally editing all of those out.
They're getting progressively worse. You have to leave them in.
Also in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, of course, the Technodrome from Playmates 1990. It received a whopping 41% of the votes.
I reckon this was the mecca of the Turtles toys.
Yep,
you could connect it to the sewer playset. I think it had more play features than the sewer playset.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I had to apply the stickers, Davey style. Originally priced at $50 USD, which is bargain.
Yeah.
It is so heavy.
Yeah, it is. It's chunky.
Yep.
And it's very accurate. The outside is very accurate to the Fred Wolf cartoon series.
Agreed. Yep.
Had four rolling tank-like treads built in. The giant iconic eyeball that sat on the top. And there was a little fold-out ramp on the side of the Technodrome. You can fold out and you can see it in some of our Toy Power videos. Then you could, from the inside, pop off the eyeball and it would roll down as a bombie knocker and knock over any characters you put at the bottom of it. Very, very cool. You had two rooms in each dome half. You had Shredder's Master Mutant Command Center, complete with view screen. You had a mutation chamber with the old ooze dripping scanner and one of Krang's rotating life support throne rooms. You had the prison cell in the middle. You had the escape hatch, so Krang could go down that little escape hatch. And you had weapons rooms that could hold any foot arsenal you desired. Talked about, it had that cool steering ship wheel as well that would control it. Very nice touch. The iSpy radar, trap door to a jail. Surprise, surprise. And then you had this little bridge thing. You could fold it out and you'd put in that little
platform thing.
Which I've got mine folded up, so it's just sort of cast aside. What about that torture device you could strap your turtles to.
Oh, yeah, that
little weird thing.
There was also, I love the, one of my favorite bits was the, and it's just like essentially, looks like a pizza, really. It's a circle with the different parts on it. And it's reminiscent of the, that appears in the cartoon when it's like the teleportation pad or something like that. Or it's, and there's a slice that just disappears and the turtles fall into a, you know, a trap or whatever.
Yes, yeah.
That's actually represented on the toy with just this little round disc that's just red. And I'm like, to someone else, it looks like a nothing, but you go, do you know what? That's tying it in nicely. Yeah.
Would you agree the most like losable piece would be maybe the handrails?
The shackles, yeah.
Yeah, I
reckon.
The hardest thing I found to complete mine was that little red disc that Krang can go through.
That was by far
the hardest thing to find, because it was just a little red disc. It, you know, had no stickers, no markings, nothing. And
it looked like a math counter or something. Like it didn't look like a blunt.
I'm 2 weeks, 2 weeks in. Yeah.
I also see a lot of them missing, you know, the foot supports that actually come out when you open the playset. Yes. There's a little fold down feet. Because kids would just, I've got to pack it up, and they'll snap off and just, you know, disappear.
I see them listed quite often missing the machine guns.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those red guns. Yeah.
Or they're terribly bent. So,
yeah.
So you're looking at probably about $300 US for complete. So maybe about 400 Australian. 2,000 mint in sealed box? Is that
maybe a bit on the high point, but I think that they're pretty darn sought after. Yeah. Like, the sealed turtle stuff is very few and far between these days. Little story on the Technodrome. So I was one day walking down Hindley Street, I think, and this guy was walking towards me, and he just had the biggest smile on his face. Like, he was on cloud nine. And as I get closer, he's holding the Technodrome. Like, this is like probably 2005 or something. So, you know, he could, we locked eyes and I'm looking at the Technodrome. He was bursting to tell someone that he just found and bought the Technodrome. Right. So we had this little, you know, 10-minute conversation about this little toy store place that, Toy Cave or something, that's no longer in existence, that one of the other toy stores bought
out. Gawler Place? Was it in Gawler Place?
Yeah.
And you went down those circular stairs?
Yeah. So he bought it from there.
Yeah.
And he just bought it, and he was floating down Hindley Street. Like,
they had some, I reckon, they had like a, when I was there, they had a clearance, right? And they had like these $2 bins. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll just grab that for $2. And it was like a Bebop or something. And they had full Dino Riders.
Yep.
Like, with all the bits just strewn into boxes.
Dude.
And I reckon there were people, I was just like, there's no way this is $2, so I didn't even bother.
Yeah.
And then I reckon people were up there like with full Diplodocuses for like $2.
There was, this is the first time I've ever seen mint on card Thundercats. Word of a lie. They were sitting there next to where I was digging.
Yeah.
And I had no interest in Thundercats whatsoever. No idea what the price was, I don't think it would have been
$300, $400, $500.
I doubt there'd be over $100.
Well, I remember there was a little secondhand Salvation Army op shop on the parade.
Yep.
And I went there, it would have been like year 9 or year 10, so I'm 13, 14 or something of that age.
So mid-70s.
Mid-70s. So, and they had a tech, and it wouldn't have been anywhere near complete, right? But they had a Technodrome just in a bucket, and it would have been $2, $5 or something. And I remember just, I didn't have the confidence to buy it. I didn't at that age. Yep. Like, it's before I got into it. Yep. So I'm like, I can't be as like a, you know, teenager buying a toy, even though I wanted it so badly. And I went back years later and it was obviously long gone.
Yep. So
Davey bought that.
So is it safe to say we've all got this playset?
I've got a boxed one.
Awesome.
Yep. Not sealed, but pretty much complete.
Yeah. Who had it as a kid, if anyone?
No. But I just wanted to say one thing. The connectivity between that and the sealed playset and the way the pipe connects, not only does it bring two great playsets together, but it addresses the concerns that Davey and I had with that pipe always falling.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're trying to erase that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Right. First place. This is huge, guys. First place.
Number one.
Davey's going to show it how it's done.
That was better than what you guys have done collectively.
I'm flawed. Okay. Castle Grayskull from Mattel, 1982, receiving a whopping 74% of the votes. 74% of the votes. Castle Grayskull, 1982. This is your votes, people. Tell us about it, Darren.
So, Castle Grayskull was the second playset that I scored in my toy collecting. It's the 1982 playset. Came out with Wave 1. It is the iconic green castle with the jaw for the drawbridge and the mouth and the face. It's really iconic, as you know. Comes in with two levels to it. So you've got the trapdoor that lets a figure down in the throne room. You've got the elevator, which takes figures up and down and works really well. You've got the dungeon, the weapons rack, and the other accessories, the cardboard cutout astronaut, the computer screen and monitor, and again, a little cardboard cutout of some very iconic weapons, including He-Man's axe and the shield. In addition to that, you've got what most people would agree is the easiest thing to lose from it, the tiny little pistol that comes from that weapon rack, which, you know, drastically affects the value of your Grayskull as to whether or not you have it. I don't know what I can say about it. I still remember the day I got it. Basically, you know, I'd been diagnosed with asthma and I wasn't doing real well with my Ventolin inhaler, and you know, I used to find it irritated my throat when I'd take it and burn it, and my parents were having a great deal of difficulty getting me to do it. So my dad offered me a good bit of good old-fashioned bribery. If you learn how to take your Ventolin in towel, I'll buy you a Castle Grayskull playset. And
you've never had asthma ever since.
my parents took the approach of, if you don't learn to use your Ventolin, you're going to die.
I think Dad had that conversation with me. It still wasn't working.
I'm happy to die. Oh, Castle Grayskull, I'm on board.
Look, I think for me, one of the cooler things about this is the famous drawbridge at the front actually has a lock on it, and that the theory was is that you could actually get you had to combine both halves of the power sword, the Skeletor and the He-Man one, to then, you know, put through the little lock to unlock the drawbridge. It wasn't just, you know, designed to sort of pop off on its own. So I thought that was a really nice, because that plays really heavily into the lore of Masters and stuff. So I thought that was really
certainly
cool.
The pre-filmation stuff, it really does, and it also makes both your He-Man and Skeletor figures so valuable, and you know, that sense of needing both of them to do that, I think, is really, really important, and you, as you said, adds to the mythology of the whole thing, and then I'm just delighted that Masters of the Universe took first place.
It is a castle that has a skull for a face.
Yeah.
Where do I give my money? Like,
pretty much.
This is all weird little boys drew skulls. Like, that's, I know for a fact. It's so iconic, and like we've learned, I actually learned through you guys, was the original art box work was, the artist thought it was Skeletor's building, and that's where the concept came from. Oh man, this is, this was my vote for number one. Not saying that you guys cheat and let me have more votes, but I'm the reason this won. But no, honestly,
well, thank you very much, Davey.
This is iconic. Like, I find that you could show maybe 10 people that aren't into toys or cartoons or anything, you could show them the Technodrome. You might get maybe 4 that know what it is. You get up near 8 for Castle Grayskull. Yep. Like, it was so iconic.
Definitely.
I received mine as a hand-me-down from family friends that were a bit older than like I was. And it had nearly everything except I never knew about the pistol. I always thought for years, I thought everyone was going on about the pistol.
The
that
big
was so
pistol?
Hard to keep.
Yep.
I thought it was
the double-handed one.
Yeah. Like,
I've got that, you suckers!
Yeah. I'm like, I use that with all of my toys. In fact, I'm pretty sure many of the thumbs of my G.I. Joes were ruined by them.
You will hold it.
Yes. And also a big part of my personal childhood one was the sticker of the trapdoor was a little bit off. So it was 50-50 whether or not it would actually swing open.
Oh, that's cool. That's opening up to a
random
game of chance.
Yep.
Yes, exactly. And obviously the throne, it is the pinnacle of that toy line in my opinion. Obviously Eternia is unbelievable, but
the story is all about Castle Grayskull.
And what's
whoever
more
controls Castle Grayskull.
He doesn't say by the power of Snake Mountain, does he?
No.
Where are you, Snake Mountain? Above 10, that's where.
It's not only is it so important to Master Universe, but it's, you know, such a big part of Shira Princess of power, in that Adora derives her power from that as well. So So when you think about iconic places, it's really indoctrinated so many different components of the Masters property. And yeah, I think it's a terrific choice for number one. I can't thank the people who voted for it enough.
And we've all got one here. And yeah, I guess correct. That speaks to the volume of votes that came in for it.
Yeah. What My fish this? Have one.
Yeah, that's how right. It is. Is it in an old TV?
No.
Because that looks really cool where you get the old TV and put the grey
Do you have... does Vader and Kylo have one yet? Or?
Not yet, no.
Not yet.
They're gonna live in the... I'm going to have the Blue Oyster Bar for my Goop Busters.
Nice.
And it's just going to be four attorneys gaffer taped together poorly with Blue Oyster Bar spray painted on it. You will see. You'll be laughing when you guys are reviewing it and I won't come back.
I think I'll be crying.
So we've all got one. Who had it as a kid?
No.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, three out of five. That's pretty awesome. All right. Can't say this enough. Thank you, everyone that voted. Really appreciate it. Everyone that took their time out of their day to vote. It really compiled an amazing list. As I called out before, almost 90 votes for different playsets. Absolutely amazing feedback. And what a diverse list, indeed.
Beautiful. Thanks, Ben, for coordinating that for our 100th episode. You did a fantastic job in pulling all together the data on that one. And just reiterate, thanks, everyone, for jumping on and voting. It made that segment so much richer to have all those votes cast. We will now quickly do the next segment.
Whoa, dude. Nice score.
Time, we'll start with Frank. We'll shoot around the room and just say this is post-Christmas. We're recording this a couple of days after Christmas, getting ready for the new year. But did you score anything or take a pick out of 2018 or out of the Christmas season of something that you got that is representative of a cool figure or cool item that you got throughout the year? Can it be at any time throughout the year?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Any time throughout the year, something that spoke to you.
Yeah, well, there's as far as a recent one, I've got my hands on the Marvel Legends Silver Surfer from our good friend Paul Klotz. He sent that over from America because good luck trying to find one in Australia at a decent price. So that was really cool. But look, as far as a best of 2018 score, I can't go past the Marvel Legends Apocalypse Build-A-Figure, the Toy Biz one. You can go back to listen to one of our previous episodes to hear the full story behind that, but the way it came about, that it had been at a trade day, sitting there the whole day, and then at the last I came into some extra money and was able to pick it up. So that's just an absolute highlight.
It was cool that you came back from the toilet and you just had that money and that guy left in his trench coat really quickly.
Hey, 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
Definitely. Okay.
Your business, how you go, Frank?
You did it four times. Well done.
All right. So just before Christmas, I caught up with Davey and he was very generous in hooking me up with this t-shirt, which is a Shredder's Gym t-shirt. Nice. So freaking nuts, man. It just happens to be my size. And he also hooked me up with a Soundwave t-shirt. So massive respect. Also tonight, he brought in a Batman, 89 Batman board game, which is just magic. Beautiful artwork on the front. Just can't thank you enough. Thanks. So
not
generous.
A problem. In that same, I'll go over to me because it's, sometimes it's good to put the best in the middle. No. At the same place that I was at in my hometown in a little antique shop. And it was one of those rare times where the lady had no idea on pricing of old toys. And there was so much stuff from the 90s. I grabbed a heap of laser discs, which I don't even collect, but they were $2 each. So.
Wow.
But the thing that really excited me was I found the board game for yourself, and I also found a 89 Batman play cave, bat cave.
Yes.
So it's basically a vinyl tent type thing. Yeah. I got that for $5 in box. Now, just to upset you guys a little bit more, I have my original tent part of my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I've got the tent vinyl part.
Yeah.
Don't have the pipes. I'll actually be using all the pipe from the Batman tent to build my Ninja Turtle tent.
I'm down with that. That's fine.
That's sweet.
Right, so very cool.
And just some more VHS Ninja Turtle cartoons.
Yeah, cool.
Sweet.
All right, so for Christmas, I got some lots of PS4 games and Ready Player One on Blu-ray, which is just sweet. Tonight, I picked up my vintage style Filmation Motu figures from Trent's order, so that's pretty awesome. And Pickle Rick, I got Pickle Rick from Sam Cripps of Nerd Paradise. That's awesome. Can't wait to have a photo shoot with him. All right, score of the year. So this was really, really hard for me to narrow down to just one figure, as I picked up a few hard-to-find vintage shredders along the way. I very generously received Monstroid from John Clawfield in the form of a gift, which meant the completion of my Master of the Universe collection, as well as the final part I needed to complete my Master of the Universe Eternia playset. But the one toy that stuck out of all the toys 2018 scores was none other than the Micronauts villain Baron Kaza. Yes. And Acroyear combo I scored locally from Justin Eddy at the Adelaide Toy and Comics Trade Day. So that combo is a true piece of art, and it's just an awesome surprise to find locally and such a good price as well. So yep. Respect all round.
So for me, for Christmas, I mainly got cash. And as far as recent pickups, I picked up the Black Series, and I'm just remember it's been a little while since I've seen Sala. Is it Kira?
Yep.
Yeah, I picked her up in Black Series from a store in Adelaide called Mad Zombie Collectibles. You know, I've picked up a few other things here and there, like the Super 7 vintage Filmation stuff arrived recently. So, you know, some good stuff coming my way.
Nice.
Best one of 2018? Best...
Ooh,
only one.
Tough. maybe the Necker Turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah, really tough.
Michelangelo.
yeah. Mikey, number one, of course.
One quarter of
them. Yeah. Donatello, number four, not fast Trent.
None taken. For me, it was really funny because Leanne and Callum went out Christmas shopping for me. And Callum's just gone. They've gone to Big W and he's seen the Aquaman shark. So yes. It's from the basic line. It's like the shark.
Yeah.
And he's gone to my wife. This is what I've got to get Daddy. Daddy wants this. He's going to get it. So he's bought it. And that night he's come home and he's gone. He's been really good. Like they've gotten me into this other room while they bring the presents through. So he's gone the whole day. Hasn't said anything. I'm doing his bedtime. He's like, you know, we got your present today. Do you like Aqua? And he stopped. And I said, yeah, I do like Aquaman. You know, there's a really cool toy from that, which is this battle shark. He's like, that's what I got you.
Oh,
yeah. So he was just boo. And then like every day after that, it was like, you're going to get the shark soon. You're going to get the shark. The shark's so cool. I got you the shark. The shark's this big. It's got missiles that launch out of here and you can turn the tail and push the button. It's got an Aquaman that can hold on. So that was all I was hearing. And I opened it up and it is impressive for a basic figure vehicle.
Yeah.
It is really, really cool. And it actually, if you watch Toy Galaxy, for the best, he does a top 10 list similar to what we do. He does the best vehicle of 2018, and that makes his cut as the best. Right. So it is awesome. So very happy. That was the only toy I actually got. Best score for 2018 is tough, and I have to shout this out now that I have completed it and built it, but it has to be the Voltron set from LEGO. It is insane in terms of how that thing comes together, how those lions are legitimate lions, but then form together to form Voltron. How that black lion, the head. You make the head, it is both the lion head and the humanoid sort of head in there. It transforms just like the Panache Place one. It's sturdy in robot mode. It is just the biggest mech I've got in LEGO. And to think in 2018 we'd have a 1984 style or 1986 style of Voltron out of LEGO is just amazing. So just love that set.
And Davey, what was your score of the year? Drum roll, please.
It'd have to be. Yeah. It would be three of the 1/4 scale Necker Turtles and three of the mini Necker Turtles. And I also, it would be the blue one, the red one, and the orange one. And I also got their little servant helper special needs guy with it. So that was good.
So is it basically just that you don't like purple or...
Oh, no. I really like purple. It's just I only like quality, so Donatello doesn't make the cut. He has sex with machines, according to the song.
Well, you get what you ask for, don't you? So when we asked Davey on, this is exactly what we were expecting. But that is tremendous. Davey, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
I'm glad to be halfway to an actual...
milestone.
Achievement.
Yeah.
And plug your show again.
If you keep supporting us, we might make it.
You can check out what I do at davesvideograveyard.com. That's probably the best way, or just find us on Facebook. Yeah.
Awesome. Or you can find us through this show, which is probably where you get 99% of your listeners from.
Well, yeah, that's true.
And what do you got coming up? Give us some juice.
On the podcast, we've got some podcast episodes, and on the radio, we've got some radio episodes.
Oh, dude, thanks, man. It's hot off the press. You heard it.
We should have warned people for the spoiler alert first. Yeah. After hearing that, they're not going to tune in.
Is Paul going to let you do a Police Academy episode?
I don't know, but before then, I would like to do an episode on Stephen King's Dreamcatcher. It's the one film that he hates that I love because it's so terrible. Much like this show.
You do it. I think part of the reason you do that show is to torment Paul.
Yeah.
Is that part of what gets you out of bed?
A little bit of it.
50%?
Yeah, maybe 25%.
And what motivates you to come on this show, apart from the charitable nature of your to make it listenable.
Basically,
to pick up the lip smacks.
Much like the S makes Superman, you know, that's his sign of hope. With you guys, I kind of lose that because I go from listeners with an S to not having that S here and just talk to your listener. Shout out,
who's
listener.
Who's basically Frank when he edits it tomorrow.
Yeah.
If only this counted as a play.
We know ways of making the statistics look good.
We've all got proxy lists. Yeah. We know how this works. No, but seriously, guys, well done.
Thank you.
You've built something out of nothing, or nothing out of something.
Yeah, depending on how you look at it.
But you've gone from strength to strength, from what I can tell, and you keep having me back, so... Until that weakness is gone, I'll enjoy it.
And we have to do a special shout out to our show, you know, the network.
Giant Size Team Up Network.
And
the one that you couldn't just think of the name of because it's so special to you.
Well, that's what Charles McFall does to Darren.
About five episodes ago, they congratulated us on reaching our 100th episode five episodes ago. So congratulations, maybe that's the time difference in the US. Congratulations, breaking the panel. They've just hit 200 episodes 6 months before they actually do.
Oh, an actual achievement on the network. Yeah. Shit, yeah.
Network's shit hot.
And today... I was publicly named or renamed by Charles John Darryl.
John Darryl. Yeah.
So if you can cast your mind back, if there's anyone listening who watched the footy show a few years ago when Neil Craig was coaching the Crows and Sam Newman kept referring to Neil Craig as Craig David, that's kind of how I felt.
Yeah.
But on the plus side, John Darryl does sound like a really good name for an action movie star, I reckon. So
John Darryl sounds like a panicked name you give to a policeman.
I'm John Darryl's walking Darryl. Down the street.
John Darrelson.
On that note, we will say a massive thank you. And probably the reason we have got to 100 is really through your support.
Yep.
All you listeners have been great.
Oh, not me. You mean everyone.
Okay. And a special shout out to all our patrons. On that note, we will say see you around the toy aisles.
And just before I say good journey, I just wanted to thank Davey as well for coming on, not only today, but every time. He always says yes when we invite him, or we pester him long enough until he does. But seriously, thanks for all your support. Over the last 2.5 years, it has been unreal, and I feel that every time we talk to you, we learn something new about what we should be doing. And
I wouldn't use me as a learning thing. I make up everything I say, but no, thanks, guys. Honestly, you're killing it, and I'm sure you'll go on to... hit some kind of quality at some point.
We live it in
home. We hope to work the statistics.
We hope to bring it up from Lisa to maybe Marge episode quality. So
that's it. Well, you're definitely on path with Arnie, Patty, and Arnie Selma.
All right.
And on that note, I'll say to one and all, thank you very much for listening. And until next time, good journey.
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast, at Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram, or have your say and email us, ToyPowerPodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.
We are a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. Check out all the awesome shows on this awesome network full of...
okay people. Want to learn more? Go to giantsizedteamup.com, where you can find us and a whole lot more awesome shows. Well, they're not more awesome than us, but yeah.